Daniel chapter 11, verse number 21. Daniel 11, verse number 21, and I will read down to verse 35. Daniel 11, tonight we're going to look at verses 21 to 35, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, in whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up, and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil, and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. But for the ships of Cheatham shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Let's stop right here. Heavenly Father, help me preach tonight. This is a very interesting prophecy, but very difficult to explain sometimes, difficult to expound, even difficult to interpret. But I do pray the Spirit of God would help with us, open our eyes, illuminate us. And I pray, more importantly, not only for understanding for God's people, but if anybody comes in this room tonight that's not saved, well, we pray you'll save them even tonight. We're thankful for those who made professions of faith after the morning service. We rejoice in that. Pray they'll keep coming. Pray they'll grow in the Lord. Pray they'll get baptized. We pray they'll continue to see souls saved and discipled and growing in the Lord here in our church. That's our main emphasis. That's what we endeavor to do. But tonight, I pray the Spirit of God will just teach us as we understand, try to understand these fascinating prophecies regarding Antiochus Epiphanes. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have preached a few messages recently on the Antichrist and his prototype, Antiochus Epiphanes. Daniel chapter 11 is entirely prophetic. I think you all understand that. The entire chapter is prophecy. Though most of it, from verses 1 to 35, have already been fulfilled. So what I mean is, when Daniel wrote this originally, it was all prophetic, but the first 35 verses have already come to pass, have been fulfilled. Now, verses 36 to 45, 36 to the end of the chapter, remain unfulfilled. They will be fulfilled in the future, and you know, it could be the very near future. Because I believe we're getting very close to the end that Daniel speaks of. So verses 36 to 45 are still future, and these verses predict the rise and fall of the coming Antichrist. All of these prophecies recorded in Daniel 11, verses 21 to 35, the portion we just read, all of these prophecies were fulfilled already by Antiochus Epiphanes, described here in verse 21 as a vile person. Now, I preached a message, by the way, on Antiochus Epiphanes back when we were in chapter 8. Seems like a long time ago. It was only not too long ago, I guess a couple of months ago. when I preached a message on Daniel 8 on Antioch's Epiphanes, and the notes and outlines for that message, as well as the audio sermon, are on the internet, on online. Now, Epiphanes means the illustrious one. That's what he called himself. Antiochus, the illustrious one. So Epiphanes means the illustrious one. But the people called him Epimenes, meaning the madman. So he thought he was the illustrious one, but most people called him the madman. And he was, in fact, the madman. And he was the picture and type, yea, the prototype of the coming Antichrist. He reigned in the days of the decline of Syria. Interesting, we've been studying in Daniel 11, we noticed the king of the north represents Syria, king of the south represents Egypt, and those two countries are in the news all the time, Syria and Egypt. Just read the newspapers. This ISIS, Islamic State of Syria, you see? Or Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, whatever. And, of course, Egypt, a lot of problems there with the Muslim Brotherhood and so much terrorism in that part of the world, and it all centers around their hatred for Israel. Of course, they hate the U.S. because we're an ally of Israel, and so on. But Israel and Syria are in the news, and that's what happened here in Daniel 11. It talks about the rise and fall of Syria and Egypt. And Antiochus Epiphanes reigned in the days of the decline of Syria and the rise of the Roman Empire. So Syria was going down and Rome was going up. Rome, of course, was the fourth beast that Daniel spoke of. He started with Babylon, then Media-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. Now, Antiochus emerged after the breakup of the falling apart of the Greek Empire. After the death of Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire started disintegrating, and that's how Antiochus Epiphanes emerged after the death of Alexander the Great. Now, tonight, as we look again at Antiochus Epiphanes, we're going to emphasize tonight that he is a type of the Antichrist. And as a type of the Antichrist, Antiochus Epiphanes had all the marks of the coming Antichrist, as described not only here in the book of Daniel, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the book of Revelation, and other prophetic scriptures. The first thing we're going to look at tonight, when we think of Antiochus as a picture of the Antichrist, is false peace. He claimed to be a man of peace. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "He shall come in peaceably." You see? So he brought in a false peace. Now, verse 21 also says, "In his estate shall stand up a vile person." The vile person, of course, is Antiochus Epiphanes, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom." This means he did not come to the throne by rightful succession, and the people did not give him honor. He seized the throne dishonestly and deceitfully. The Bible says by flatteries. See? Deceitfully, by flatteries. He obtained the kingdom by flatteries. And just like the Antichrist, whom he foreshadows, Antiochus Epiphanes posed as a peacemaker. Verse 21, "He shall come in peaceably." Now look at verse 24. "He shall enter peaceably." He posed as a man of peace, but he was actually a very brutal and violent man. In this, of course, he prefigures the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, says, "By peace shall he destroy many." By peace, the Antichrist will destroy many. Now, let me say this. My wife and I were talking about this recently. All of this terrorism, it's starting to really wear people out. I mean, people are just getting so discouraged. You turn the news, another beheading. You know, they kill Americans. They kill an Englishman. Now they're threatening to kill some other... Where's he from? I can't hear you. Another American? Whatever country... Yeah, it is an American. Right. It was an American army, and then he started his own organization over there. That's right. Right. So they're killing all of these people, and of course, they're chopping off a lot of heads of Christians. And I mean, it's just wicked what's going on in that part of the world. And people are getting weary of it. People are frightened. People don't know what's going to happen next. You know, and they're right here in our own country. They chopped off the lady's head in Oklahoma. And it's just really, it's not a very pleasant situation. Now, I think what's going to happen, and my wife and I were talking about this, the Antichrist is going to come along and say, "I'll bring peace. I'll be able to bring peace in the Middle East. I'll be able to bring the Muslims and the Jews together. I'll be able to stop all these beheadings. And by the way, he says he's going to stop all the beheadings. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Look at Revelation chapter 20. And verse number 4. Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus. The Antichrist is going to chop off more heads than ISIS. But he's not going to do that in the beginning, though, you see? In the beginning, he's going to say, I'll stop all this beheading, I'll stop all this violence. It's going to be a false peace. Daniel 8:24 says, the Antichrist shall destroy wonderfully. Strange expression. In other words, it's going to be amazing how he's going to get away with this. He's going to be a man of peace, supposedly, but who's really very violent and brutal. Now, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 8:24, he shall destroy wonderfully. The Hebrew word translated wonderfully in Daniel 8:24 means extraordinary, beyond one's power. Now, what does that mean, beyond one's power? I believe it's referring to his satanic power. The Antichrist is going to have satanic power. I think Antioch Epiphany probably did also, since he's a picture and prototype of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will have great satanic power. You think about that now. Think about all the hatred and hostility in the Middle East. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, Muslim children grow up hating Jews. And this is passed on from generation to generation. How can anyone bring peace over there? Well, the Antichrist is going to have satanic power to do that. You see, Revelation chapter 13, verse 2 says, the dragon, that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Think about that now. Revelation chapter 13, 2 says the devil is going to give the Antichrist his seat, his power, his great authority. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And by the way, people are being lied to every day. You turn on the news, they're lying. I think they're lying about this Ebola virus, to be honest with you. Yeah. I don't believe half what the government's saying. I don't believe it. We're being lied to. It's a satanic deception. What's going on is going to get a lot worse when the Antichrist comes. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25 says, by peace shall he, the Antichrist, destroy many. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. You think about that? The people will be saying, peace, safety, we have peace now. Everything's okay now. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3. Revelation chapter 6. Describes four horsemen. Four horsemen. The first horseman is pictured as riding a white horse. What does a white horse signify? Hey, he's a good guy. You watch those old cowboy movies, you know, Hopalong Cassidy and Roy Rogers, they always rode a white horse, amen? The bad guys rode the black horse, the black cat, the good guys rode a white, had the white horse, white horse. But seriously, the white horse pictures, he's a man of peace. He's going to bring peace to a world that is weary of warfare and terrorism. But who is that riding on the white horse? It's the Antichrist. The Antichrist. We're told in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, he went forth conquering and to conquer. It's the Antichrist. And who's following him? A man on a red horse. What does that red signify?
Bloodshed.
See? Right behind him is bloodshed. You see, here he's coming, a man of peace. And all of a sudden, bloodshed follows him, the rider on the red horse. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. See that? To take peace from the earth. Not bring peace. To take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. The third horse is a black horse. What does that signify? That's a picture of famine. And famine follows war. And then the fourth horse is a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. That's Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Now, the Antichrist will claim to be a man of peace, but war and famine and death, bloodshed are going to follow right behind him. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes claimed to be a man of peace, but war and famine and death and bloodshed followed right behind him also. Look at our text tonight, Daniel 11, verse 21. He shall come in peaceably, obtains the kingdom by flatteries, and with the arms of a flood, destroying that describing his army. Arms of a flood shall be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Now, verse 22 here says he came in with the arms of a flood. The arms of a flood, take this flowing through, this washing away, sweeping away all resistance. That's the idea here. He came in and swept away all resistance before him. Now, the prince of the covenant, that's an unusual term. And let me explain to you what that means. That probably, it can't be 100% certain, but I'm quite sure it refers to the Jewish high priest. Most expositors say that's a Jewish high priest whom Antiochus had murdered in 170 B.C. First, Antiochus Epiphanes had him removed as high priest. That's bad enough. He's got no business doing that. But first he had him removed, then he had him killed. Real man of peace, huh? Killing the high priest. That shows you his true colors and what he was all about. The covenant, he's called the prince of the covenant. The covenant refers to God's covenant with Israel. God's sacred covenant with his chosen people. If you look with me at verse 28, talks about the holy covenant in verse 28. Look at verse 30. Twice in verse 30, you have reference to the holy covenant. And then verse number 32, the covenant, and such as do wickedly against the covenant. So the covenant refers to God's covenant with Israel, and the prince of the covenant refers to the high priest who Antiochus had murdered. Well, let's move on. He's a man of peace, but it's not a real peace. It's a false peace. And whenever you hear today about peace, just don't take it too seriously, because there's going to be no real peace until the Prince of Peace comes. That's King Jesus. When he comes back, there's going to be peace in this world, but not until then. Now, let's move on. Alliance with other kings. Just like the coming Antichrist, Antiochus was a great deceiver. Verse 23 says, he shall work deceitfully. It says he's going to form a league. A league means an alliance with other kings, other nations. But this league is going to be done in a deceitful way. He's going to form this league, this alliance, to further his career. But he's just going to be deceitful about it. He'll sign his covenants and his contracts and his agreements, but he's not going to keep his word. Look at verse 23. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. That's why we read about today these nations sitting down and drawing up these agreements. They don't mean a word they say. Do you really think you can believe Russia or China or North Korea or these Muslim countries? You can't believe a word they say. In fact, the Quran even tells Muslims to deliberately deceive non-Muslims. It's taught in the Quran. They're taught you're allowed to deceive non-Muslims. It's good to do that. And never mind the Muslims. What about the communists and all these other people? You can't believe a word they say. You say, you can trust the communists? Oh, that's as far as I can throw it. That's not very far. So, after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. That's verse number 23. Became strong with a small people means with a small group of followers. He started out with a small group, but he became very strong. Again, I believe that's because he was getting power from the devil. I think Antiochus was being strengthened and helped by Satan himself. Now, undoubtedly, if I know my Bible right, if I know Bible prophecy right, and I think I do, undoubtedly the Antichrist will form a league with other nations. He'll form some type of League of Nations along the lines of the European Union, along the lines of the United Nations. The Antichrist will do something like that. Now, the Bible says Antiochus Epiphanes entered in peaceably upon the fattest places of the province, verse 24. That means the most fertile and the most pleasant, the most attractive places, the most productive places. He entered peaceably upon the fattest places of the province. And then in verse 24 it says, he shall forecast his devices. Now look at that now. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. That means the most productive places, the best places. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil, and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his device against the strongholds, even for a time. That means he's going to devise his plans. The term here, forecast his device, means he's going to come up with these plans, these schemes. And he's going to do that against the strongholds. But it says only for a time. Even for a time. Now, we also go on to read in verse 25, he shall stir up the power and his courage against the king of the south. There's Egypt again. You see? Now, under the pretense, and it's all pretense with the Antiochus, and it's all going to be pretense with the Antichrist. In fact, I hate to say it, but it's mostly pretense of most leaders in the world. You can't trust most of them. But under the pretense of goodwill, he distributed, or you could say he scattered, is the term Daniel uses in verse 24. He scattered his spoils among the people. Now, that's a typical trick for politicians. You know, they scatter other people's things to further their own ends. They take from one people, give it to another. He scattered his spoils. In other words, to try to get a following. But then after consolidating his kingdom, it says in verse 25, he shall stir up his power. In verse number 25, Antiochus Epiphanes attacked Egypt, the king of the south. The king of the south, we're told, had a very great and mighty army, verse 25. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices, same term, forecast devices, devised plans, schemed up some plans against him. In other words, Egypt could not stand against the army of Antiochus Epiphanes. That's what verse 25 is saying. And even those who the king of Egypt trusted, even those who ate at his dinner table, betrayed him and destroyed him. Look at verse 26. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat. In other words, these are people who he fed, people who sat down and ate with him. Even they were going to destroy him. So he was betrayed by those he trusted. And then it says here, and his army shall overflow. That means his army shall be swept away. And many shall fall down slain. And then verse 27 talks about another peace scheme, another peace plan that didn't last. And both these kings, in other words, king of the north, Antiochus, king of the south, king of Egypt, both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. So in other words, they're sitting down to come up with a peace treaty, but they both had their minds set on mischief. They both were deceitful. They both were dishonest. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. So they sat down to discuss peace, but the whole time they were speaking lies to each other. And therefore their peace treaties did not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. That means despite all of this lying, all of this double-crossing, all of this intrigue, it was all according to God's perfect schedule, God's plan. It was all fulfilling Bible prophecy at the time appointed. Now, we talked about Antiochus Epiphanes and being a peacemaker. We talked about him forming an alliance, which didn't really last very long. But the real mark, I believe, of the Antichrist, the way we know for sure Antiochus Epiphanes is a picture and type of the Antichrist, is he persecuted the Jews. Keep that in mind. The Antichrist will persecute the Jews. I think there's an increase in anti-Semitism now. There's no doubt about it. And it's getting worse and worse. They say in Europe now it's really bad. Really bad. And it's going to get worse because many of these cities in Europe now are being overrun by Muslims. And the non-Muslims don't have the strength or the wherewithal to stop this onslaught of anti-Semitism. And it's creeping to America too. Don't kid yourself. It's coming here too. It is here. And right now, America is the only real ally Israel has, the only strong ally Israel has. And I believe there's a lot of people here in America that like to double-cross Israel. And once America does that, it's all over for America. I'll tell you right now. We're already in bad shape. We're in trouble with the Lord right now because of abortion, homosexual marriage, all the gross wickedness in America, pornography, adultery. We're already in trouble with the Lord. America's become a very immoral country. But if we double-cross Israel, we can say goodbye to America. So the main mark of the Antichrist and the way Antiochus Epiphanes foreshadows the Antichrist is persecuting the Jews. Antiochus Epiphanes, who rose to power and persecuted the Jewish people and their land, was a true type of the coming Antichrist, who will mistreat the Jews in a similar way when he comes into power. Verse 28 says, Antiochus Epiphanes returned back to his land. Verse 28, he'll return to his land with great riches. His land, of course, is Syria. He returned back to his land with great riches. But his heart was against the Holy Covenant. So look at verse 28. He'll return to his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant. In other words, he's going back home, but his heart is really to hurt Israel and to destroy Israel. His heart shall be against the Holy Covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. Now, I mentioned already the covenant is mentioned here in verse 28, verse 22, verse 30. Verse 32, it refers to God's covenant with Israel. Antiochus Epiphanes turned his wrath against the people of Israel, and he persecuted and he murdered thousands of them, and that's an historical fact. You can look that up in any good history book or encyclopedia. Even you don't even go out to the library, just look on the internet now. There's many sources you can look up. Antiochus Epiphanes persecuted and murdered thousands of Jewish people. Now think about this. If Antiochus did that, and the Antichrist could be far worse, the type is always worse than the fulfillment of the type is always worse than the type. Think about how many people the Antichrist is going to murder. How many Jews he's going to slaughter. Now his exploits in verse 28, look at verse 28, he shall do exploits. His exploits include defiling the temple in Jerusalem. Go to verse 31. And arms or armies shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary. He's going to pollute the sanctuary. That's talking about the sanctuary, the temple in Jerusalem. He's going to pollute, he's going to defile it, and take away the daily sacrifice. He's going to tell the Jews, no more daily sacrifice. You can't do that. That's outrageous. What right does he have to go into a Jewish temple and tell them you can't offer a sacrifice? You know why he's going to do that? He's going to offer a sacrifice to Zeus right there in that temple. Antiochus Epiphanes did that, and the Antichrist will do something worse. Antiochus offered up a sacrifice to Zeus and slaughtered a pig there in the temple. The Antichrist will sit there and demand that people worship him. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talks about that. So, his exploits include defiling the temple in Jerusalem. He took away the daily sacrifice of the Jews, and he polluted their sanctuary. By the way, this rampage, this abomination, it's recorded in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 20 to 28. It's recorded in 2 Maccabees chapter 5, verses 11 to 17. Now, I want to say this again. I've said it many times. 1 and 2 Maccabees is part of the Apocrypha. We do not have the Apocrypha in our King James Bible. It doesn't belong in the King James Bible. It doesn't belong in any Bible. It's in the Catholic Bible, but we don't accept the Catholic Bible. But it's not inspired the way the 66 books of the Bible are inspired. It's not the Word of God. But Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and other books of the Apocrypha are interesting from an historical perspective. You understand what I'm saying? You can learn from reading them. They're interesting, like reading Josephus or any other ancient historical document, but it's not the Word of God. But I just want to mention that 1st and 2nd Maccabees does talk much about Antiochus Epiphanes and does talk about how he persecuted the Jews and how he defiled the temple. And once again, we see here in verse 29 that Antiochus Epiphanes attacked the south, that's Egypt, verse 29, at the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south. That was coming in towards Egypt, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. In other words, he was not quite as successful this time. He was forced out of Egypt. He was humiliated by not being able to take Egypt. He failed to take the city of Alexandria. And because he was defeated, because he was humiliated, he turned his wrath against the Jews. And that's the way it's always been through history. People always use the Jews as a scapegoat. And the Bible says here he was defeated. Verse 30 says, for the ships of Shechem shall come against him. The ships of Shechem, or that's referred to Cyprus, shall come against him. At this point, Antiochus Epiphanes was forced to leave Egypt. He conceded Egypt to the power of Rome. Again, Rome was coming up strong. Syria was going down. And he was forced out of Egypt. Rome took over. Therefore, he shall be grieved. Look at verse 30. Therefore, he shall be grieved. In other words, he was grieved. He was humiliated. And he returned and had indignation against who?
The Holy Covenant.
You see? He turned his wrath against the Jewish people. After being defeated in Egypt, he took his wrath out on them. And so shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. Now what does that mean, have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant? Let's talk about, he got a hold of some backslidden Jews and worked together with them. And by the way, if I can make an application, some of the people who cause the most trouble for me are backslidden Christians, say right now. I can get along with some old unsaved persons pretty good sometimes, but man, some of those backstabbing, backslidden Christians, watch out for them. They can be the worst people. Now, he was grieved. He was humiliated by his defeat in Egypt, took out his frustrations against the Jews, and had indignation against the Holy Covenant. Intelligence, verse 30, intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant, verse 30, refers to Antiochus coming to an understanding. Intelligence means coming to an understanding with certain Jews who had forsaken the Holy Covenant. They had forsaken the Holy Covenant because they weren't right with God. They were backstabbing, backsliding, treacherous Jews. And there's always been some of those around as well. This treacherous agreement that Daniel prophesies in verse 30 was fulfilled and recorded in 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 18, and 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 1. By the way, you can read 1 and 2 Maccabees online on the internet. You don't have to go out and buy a copy of the Apocrypha. It's online. You can read that. And then it says that arms, or armies, military forces, shall stand on his part. I'm reading now from verse 31. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, that's referring to the temple in Jerusalem, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. This took place, just like Daniel prophesied, this took place in 167 B.C., when Antiochus Epiphanes offered up a pig. Think about that now. You know, the Jews consider a pig an unclean animal, and they can't eat pork and all that. And here's this Syrian madman offering up a pig in their temple. Think about how offensive that is. Think about how wicked that is. It's how insulting that is to just march into their temple like that. And anybody gets in his way, just take your sword out and kill him. And you just go in there and already kill the high priest. Now he goes in there and offers up a pig to Zeus. Zeus, of course, is a Greek god, a pagan god. He polluted the sanctuary and took away the daily sacrifice. And that's recorded in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 44 to 54. So Daniel recorded this as a prophecy hundreds of years before it happened. And then Maccabees wrote about it after it happened as history. So Daniel's looking ahead as prophecy. It's amazing how accurate this prophecy was fulfilled. First and Second Maccabees looks back and writes it as history. Okay? And you say, how come it's not in the Bible? Well, it's in that period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They called it 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew, but it really wasn't silent. A lot of things were going on. Silent in the sense that God in his wisdom has chosen not to put it in the Bible. So the Bible ends with Malachi and begins again with Matthew. And these events that we're talking about tonight with Antiochus Epiphanes took place during that period of time between Malachi and Matthew. And the Apocrypha does talk about some of those events. In seeking to exterminate Judaism, and that was his goal, Antiochus Epiphanes wanted to wipe out Judaism, wipe out the Jews. In his efforts to exterminate Judaism and to Hellenize the Jews, if you're not familiar with that term, Hellenize, in other words, force Greek culture on them. And by the way, some of the attempts by Alexander the Great to promote Greek culture were good, were positive. I will say that. And of course, our New Testament is written in Greek. And if you study architecture, you look at the influence of Greek architecture. And of course, if you study philosophy, Greek philosophy. I'm not saying it's all bad, even though it's pagan. I know proud people study Plato and Socrates. There's a lot of benefit in that. But what Antiochus Epiphanes did was force this upon the Jews, trying to exterminate Judaism and Hellenize the Jews, and he forbade the Jews to follow their sacred religious practices. He demanded that copies of the law of Moses be burned, be destroyed, and then he set up the abomination that maketh desolate, verse 31. Now, again, let me emphasize this tonight. This abomination that maketh desolate prefigures what the Antichrist will do during the coming tribulation. Now, I hope nobody misses this. This is very important. It's so important the Lord Jesus Christ referred to it in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. So, for the Lord to mention this, and by the way, some would say, well, you know, all those references to the Antichrist, that's just talking about Antioch Epiphanes. There's no coming Antichrist, or it's not the way some of these Baptist preachers say this. Jesus could not have been talking about Antioch Epiphanes because he's referred to this as something in the future. And when Jesus said that in Matthew 24:15, Antiochus had already been dead for almost 200 years. So you need to understand that our Lord was not talking about Antioch Epiphanes. Our Lord was talking about the coming Antichrist in Matthew 24, verse 15. So this abomination that maketh desolate, that Daniel refers to, that Daniel prophesied in Daniel 11, verse 31, prefigures what the Antichrist will do during the coming tribulation. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Notice he's talking future. You're going to see this. It's going to happen in the future. He didn't say it happened back during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. He said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Notice our Lord called Daniel the prophet. Say, what's the big deal about that? Because many skeptics and cynics and unbelievers have denied Daniel was a prophet. In fact, they even attacked the book of Daniel and said it's a forgery. So why do they do that? Because no one was able to predict the rise of Media Persia and Greece and Rome. Nobody can do that. Well, God can do that, amen? And Daniel was a prophet of God. I was trying to think of the great Bible teacher who defended Daniel, and I said he was the brother of President Wilson. It was Robert Dick Wilson. For some reason, I had one of those, what do you call them, senior moments? Yeah. It was Robert Dick Wilson. He was the brother of President Woodrow Wilson. He wrote a great book defending the authorship of Daniel. Great scholar. I think he was fluent in like 30 languages. And he studied the book of Daniel and said, there's no doubt about it, Daniel. The book of Daniel is authentic. And these cynics are all wrong. And of course, Sir Robert Anderson wrote some great books defending the book of Daniel. He worked for Scotland Yard. He was involved in a Jack the Ripper case. He was a great scholar in England. But let's go on now. So Jesus said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, talking about the temple, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now think about it. Our Lord spoke those words in his Olivet Discourse 200 years after Antiochus Epiphanes. So our Lord was obviously speaking of a future Antichrist literally polluting the temple during the coming tribulation. He said, when you therefore shall see, future, you shall see this abomination of desolation. And by the way, you study the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Matthew 25. You study it, it's entirely prophetic. Everything in there is still future. Everything. And including Matthew 24, verse 15. The Antichrist will defile the temple. And by the way, Paul talks about the Antichrist defiling the temple in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, the desecration of the temple by Antiochus Epiphanes precipitated the Maccabean Revolt. I mentioned 1 Maccabees, 2 Maccabees. That is referred to as the Maccabean Revolt, which was cruelly suppressed by Antiochus Epiphanes, resulting in the deaths of tens of thousands of Israelites. Tens of thousands of Jews died in that battle, that revolt against Antiochus Epiphanes. And then verse 32 says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. Now, those that do wickedly against the covenant refers to these apostate Jews, these backslidden Jews. Antiochus Epiphanes offered them a great reward if they would abandon the true faith, abandon their religion, abandon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and worship Zeus. He tried to corrupt them by flatteries. And then verse 32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong. Those that remain steadfast and strong. Those that know their God shall be strong. I hope tonight you know your God and you're strong. Amen? And do exploits. That refers to this faithful remnant, notably the Maccabees, who refused to yield to Antiochus Epiphanes. So verse 32 says, those that do wickedly, talking about these apostate Jews against the covenant is God's covenant with Israel, shall he, Antiochus Epiphanes, corrupt But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They remain strong and eventually defeated Antioch's Epiphanes. Now, many of them died in their effort, but eventually Antioch's Epiphanes was defeated. He died in 163 B.C. Verses 33 and 34 are an assurance that God would raise up faithful teachers who would instruct many. Look at this. And they that understand among the people. It means those that have some spiritual discernment and understanding of Scripture. They that understand among the people, the people means the Jewish people, shall instruct many. So they were instructing many people about the Word of God and the danger of being polluted and contaminated and corrupted by Antioch Epiphanes. They that instruct among the people shall understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword. Means many would die. Many would be martyred. Fall by the sword and by flame. In other words, they would be literally burned to death by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. So this persecution went on for many days. Spoil means plunder. Sword and flame means they would be executed. Captivity. Some would go into captivity. They would stumble and fall. Verse 34. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hopeful. They shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. But I want you to notice tonight the repetition of the word fall. Verse 33. The Bible says, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword. Verse 34, now when they shall fall, and then you notice also in verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall. The emphasis and the repetition of the word fall stresses their severe suffering and the persecution. Stresses that many would die, and of course it has reference to the Maccabean revolt. Verse 34 says, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Notice the emphasis on flattery. Many people will be corrupted by the flatteries of Antioch's Epiphanes. And then verse 35 says, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge. And this purging process will continue up to the time of the end because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, if you understand the book of Daniel and you understand Daniel 11, this has reference to the second coming of Christ when the Antichrist is going to be defeated. You say, how does the Antichrist fit in this prophecy? All we're seeing here is Antiochus Epiphanes. Just like Daniel 8, it goes from Antiochus Epiphanes right to the Antichrist. Daniel 11 is a little bit different. Daniel 8, it almost seems like it's hard to tell where it stops talking about Antiochus Epiphanes and starts talking about the Antichrist. It's almost like a blending of the two. But here there's a break. Verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will. The king here is referring to the Antichrist. And verse 36 to the end of the chapter is no longer talking about Antioch's Epiphanes. It's talking about the coming Antichrist. Antioch's Epiphanes is a picture, a type, a prototype of the Antichrist. Beloved, the stage is being set for the arrival of the Antichrist. There's no doubt about it. You'll notice in our prophecy tonight, there's a reference here, several references to people of understanding. Verse 33, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. And verse 35, some of them of understanding shall fall. God wants his people to have an understanding. The way you get this understanding is by reading the Bible, by studying the Bible, by being serious about learning the Bible, yea, memorizing the Bible, having your devotions with the Bible. Be people of the book. People who know the book. And I'm afraid that I mentioned this morning, too many churches today are not stressing Bible learning and Bible preaching. And that the pastors are very light in their Bible exposition. In fact, many churches, there's no Bible exposition. And consequently, the people in the pews are biblically illiterate. And they're not reading their Bibles. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen here. And I know we got some folks who are serious about this matter of studying the Word of God and learning the Word of God. Mark my words, the stage is being set right now for the arrival of the Antichrist. I mentioned it earlier. People all over the world, and we can think about right here in our own country, people all over the world are frightened. They're growing tired of seeing these beheadings, and they open the newspaper, another person's going to get their head cut off. And this is wearing people out. And the world is in turmoil. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and promise to have the answers. He's going to promise solutions to all the problems of the nations, all the problems of the world, all these conflicts, all this terrorism. He's going to be promoted as a peacemaker. And he's going to bring affluence and prosperity. He's going to fix things, you know. Hope and change, that's what he's going to say, you see. He's going to claim to be a friend of Israel, you see. He's going to claim to be a friend of Israel, but he's not really going to be a friend of Israel. He's going to be a deceiver. According to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, he'll make a covenant with Israel. But in the midst of Daniel's 70th week, and by the way, we went through this already in Daniel 9. Those Daniel's 70th week is the 7-year tribulation period. In the midst of those 7 years, about 3.5 years in, he's going to double cross Israel. He's going to renege on his promises. He's going to show his true colors. He's going to defile the temple. Not only defile it, he's going to go into the temple and demand that people worship him. And the stage is being set. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. But by the way, I believe that will really be the beginning of the tribulation. When the Antichrist arrives on the scene and tries to bring peace. As Revelation 6 shows, there's going to be 7 seals. The first seal is the rider on the white horse. That's the Antichrist. He could be alive right now. He could be even active right now in some country leaders and some politician or some prime minister or something. I don't know. I'm not going to make any wild statements about his identity. No one knows who he is right now except God. I don't think we're going to really know, because I believe the rapture will take place before these prophecies are unfolded and before these prophecies are unfolded. I believe we'll be up in glory land. Amen? But I do believe that he could be alive right now, and then he'll emerge on the scene after the rapture. Thank God, I believe what we call a pre-tribulational rapture. Some people say, well, I don't agree with you, preacher. I believe in post-tribulation. Well, you can go through the tribulation if you want to, but I'm going to be up in heaven. Amen? I'm not going to be here for that. Now, he's going to double-cross Israel. He's going to break his promises. He's going to turn against Israel. And this is prefigured, foreshadowed, in the 11th chapter of Daniel by the prophecies regarding Antiochus Epiphanes, who's going to come in peaceably and shall enter peaceably. But in reality, Antiochus Epiphanes was a violent, violent person who polluted the sanctuary and took away the daily sacrifice and placed the abomination that make it desolate in the temple. And next week, Lord willing, I say Lord willing, because the rapture will take place between now and next Sunday. Amen? Amen? Amen. But next week, Lord willing, we're going to see what Daniel says about the destruction of the coming Antichrist, which will coincide with the end of the world as we know it. If you want to be serious about this business, just study verses 36 to 45 during the week. And then when you come back next Sunday night, you're good to go. You'll be able to get a little head start on this fascinating prophecy. Now, when we talk about the destruction of the Antichrist, in the book of Revelation, we read about the Battle of Armageddon. In the midst of that awesome confrontation, the great final battle between God and the devil, between Christ and Antichrist, between good and evil, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return from heaven. Amen? He's going to return from heaven. The Bible said he's going to descend upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives is going to split. And there's so many amazing prophecies regarding the second coming of Christ. Let me say this. All these prophecies regarding the first coming of Christ were so accurately fulfilled, we can be confident all these prophecies regarding the second coming of Christ will also be accurately fulfilled. Right down to the most minute details. Soon Christ will return. Are you ready? The Lord's coming back. God will intervene from heaven. And the end of history, as we know it, is going to come to an end. It's going to come. The end of history. Are you ready? You say, preacher, what are we supposed to be doing in the meantime? Well, a lot of things we could be doing. In the meantime, we should be getting close to the Lord. Read His Word. Pray. Man, if everyone needed a time to need to pray, it's right now. And try to win souls. You know, D.L. Moody, who also preached a lot about the second coming of Christ, D.L. Moody said, I see this world as a sinking ship. And I'm going to try to get as many people into the lifeboats as I can. Amen. Let's look at it that way.
let's try to get as many people saved as we can. You know, you probably know a lot of unsaved people. They have no idea what's in store. They have no clue about the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation or Bible prophecy. They have no idea what's coming down the road. We do know. We know the Bible. We can see these things can be fulfilled any time now. You know, I used to preach about the mark of the beast and all that. It seems so far in the distance. It's not so far in the distance now. I'm reminded every time I go in the grocery store, they scan things and you have your debit card. We're so close to these prophecies being fulfilled. We need to be sure we're ready for the Lord's return.